what you're doing in your research project. Say, I've had a day a week where I've been looking at, a number of things, but where my focus has been drawn to where we are disconnected as Christian communities, and our words are not connecting with people beyond us, around particularly who Jesus is and his death and resurrection. So I've been thinking about that, thinking about what words we use, how we describe how we might connect. And I've done a number of workshops over these last few months with the St. Albans church leaders, the Harpenden church leaders, 267. I was with them on Tuesday. They had about 20 youth leaders and children's workers. That was a fascinating time, trying to understand where generation Z are, which is the ones belong on the millennials. So they've chopped us up into lots of different generations. Baby boomers, which is where I am, and then Generation X, and then Generation Y, the millennials, and then Generation Z. What they're now saying is that because of the speed of change, they probably won't be able to define another generation. So it'll just become a blur from now on, which in a way is a bit of a relief, isn't it? Because you think, oh, how am I going to keep up? But some great conversations with those guys on Tuesday morning, talking to them about how do they communicate faith to young people. What does it look like? And so this week, I just want to really give you an overview. And then next week, we'll dive into a bit more detail. So if you're a detail person, next week, we'll get a bit more wrestly with some of the areas. This week, I just want to give you an overview. I've put some notes at the back, which are the notes that I've used in the various workshops that I've been running, which just gives you an outline and then some reading resources if that's the sort of thing you're interested in. And there are also some books on the table at the back that I've been using and found helpful. So this is where I think I am in these three tiers. Looking for a pathway out of shame. So what's been discovered, or what I've discovered, is particularly by reading social commentators like Brené Brown, that her research, which she's been doing for about 12 years now, highlights that our Western culture has moved from sort of a sense of feeling guilty to feeling shame, that there's something wrong with us. That's the bottom line. That's the way that she describes shame. There's something wrong with me. And so how do we respond if that's where our culture is at? Brené Brown says that shame is at epidemic proportions in our Western culture. That's quite a statement. Shame is at epidemic proportions in our Western culture. She says shame thrives on secrecy, silence, and judgment. You put shame in a petri dish in a laboratory, and it will thrive on secrecy, silence, and judgment. It's hidden. One of the things that's happening with social media is that people present what they want you to see, but inside, they're not feeling like what they're posting up here. There is a disconnect between this outer performance and inner feelings. Sense of loss and hopelessness is rife in our culture, but it's hidden. It's inside. And what Brené says is that in all of her research, the antidote to shame, again, going back to our shame in the petri dish, the antidote to that is if you douse it with empathy, it can't survive. You douse it with empathy, it can't survive. It thrives on separation and isolation, secrecy, silence, and judgment. You douse it with empathy, it can't survive. That is a key for the gospel. And we'll put that key in the lock and turn it next week. And look at how our gospel message connects with that need for empathy to bring about restoration for those that are lost, recovery of sight for the blind, as we read earlier. And we can proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to this generation, to our Western culture locked in shame, if we are able to turn that key of empathy. What does that look like? How do we do that? What does that mean, particularly for the death and resurrection of Jesus, but more than that, the fuller gospel message if the key that we need to turn to connect with this shame, as Brené Brown highlights, is empathy. So you want to explore that. That's what we're going to do next week in a bit more detail. I've used my wooden planks for you before, and I just wanted to do a little reminder of those. These have become representing bridges for our gospel message. And classically, what we've done is built a bridge on what I describe as the guilt and innocence. We feel guilty. I've done something wrong. I need forgiveness, is the guilt and innocence bridge. That's one bridge that the gospel message needs to go across. And that has been the bridge that's been used in our Western culture dominantly. That is what is in our church cultures typically. We feel guilty. We need forgiveness. We cross that bridge. The second plank is one that is one based on fear. Each of these you see in Genesis 3. They feel guilty because they've eaten the apple. They feel fearful. And this is a fear and power bridge. So we feel fearful. God offers us his power to overcome our fear. So the resurrection is highlighted here. Jesus conquers death, our biggest fear. Here, Jesus is a sacrifice, pays the price for our sin. Different way of thinking about it. All part of the same gospel. These are not separate, they're connected together. They come back to the person of Jesus. And then this plank, the last one, we're just scooting through these. We could spend ages on each one of them talking about them. This last plank is the bridge that connects from shame to honor. So we are shamed. We have a loss of who we are, identity, our value. Happened in the garden. Adam and Eve go and hide. They realize they're naked because they have dishonored God. How have they dishonored God? Because they've usurped his authority. They've said, we've eaten this apple because we want to become God, because we want to know what is good and evil. We don't trust you with that. We want to know that. So that's the starting point for this shame situation. The need to go and hide because we've lost trust with God. Interesting that you highlighted that, wasn't it, Anya? That it was you, those proverb verses bring you back to trusting in God, not your own understanding. That's what this plank is about, trusting. So three distinct ways that we can think about the gospel message entering culture. This has been our Western culture. This has been more African, the fear and power. Mark and I will step into this when we go into Tanzania in a week or so's time. You sense the change of spiritual atmosphere in this fear and power dimension. And then the shame and honor one has more typically been Asian, but has become ours. But has become ours in quite a different way than it would have been in Asia or in other parts of the world. So in Asian cultures, it would be more cultural shame. It would be about outward appearance. And it is for us to some degree. It would, if we think historically, you were shamed if you had a child out of wedlock. Yeah? You'd sort of broken the rules. You were back over here. That's not the case anymore here, is it? You know, most of the rules don't matter anymore in the sense of my truth is my truth, your truth is your truth. So the shame is not the same as cultural shame with these external boundaries. It's more of an internal psychological response and is one that compares you with other people directly and what they're doing and what a fab time they're having, which again is what social media does, that makes you feel inadequate, less than, and not meeting your expectations or other people's expectations of you. So that's the shame. Honor, is that the right word? I don't think it is. I think we need to reshape that word. It works in a cultural sense, in an Asian culture. I don't think it works for us in quite the same way. So this is the bridge that I think we need to develop. And that's where we'll look next week and say, okay, What does it mean for us then to communicate the gospel if indeed our culture has shifted from here to there? I mean, it still has all of these three evident in it. You'll bump into these things with different people that you have conversations with, and you'll know them yourself. You know, we live, don't we, with a sense of, I messed that up. We live with a sense of, oh, goodness, I'm really worried about this, fearful. And we live with this sense of, I'm not who I could be, or not who I should be, or not even who I want to be, you know. So we each sit in these places. But I think the place that we're most likely to meet people as we have conversations with them about our faith is on this bridge at this particular moment in time, particularly younger people. What that means is, going back to our little PowerPoint, that we need to find a pathway out of shame for those people that are in it, for each of us that are in it. Let's include ourselves in this. And I think that will mean us developing a one another culture. Those 58 one another statements in the New Testament, love one another, forgive one another, teach and admonish one another, just as we've done this morning, hearing from each other. Because I don't know whether you notice what happens when you have that one another culture, it breaks or starts to break the secrecy, silence and judgment. You talk about things. That's a step towards creating what Brené Brown describes, and others are using this language, as a shame-resilient culture. So I think one of the pathways out of shame is to have that one another culture. It's no surprise to me that the New Testament has that golden thread of the one another's flowing through it, because it is one of the pathways out of shame. Opening up, having those relationships, having those conversations, being brave, stepping out, as Matthew encouraged us to do, sort of coming out of that rabbit hutch that he described. We feel vulnerable. We often feel that it's much easier to go back in, to keep safe, to keep hidden. But actually, the one another culture encourages us to be open, be more frank, be more vulnerable with one another. So I think that is a necessary part of this. So we can think about it as, okay, what words are we going to use to talk about Jesus, talk about his death and resurrection? But actually, that needs to come from and sit within a culture that is shame resilient. Otherwise, you talk about one thing out here and then you connect with a group of people that are operating in a completely different way, in a completely different space in here with that sense of community. And because the shame idea is so relational, it is about connection, it's about trust, it's about vulnerability. That's how our communities need to be formed, how our Christian communities need to be formed, to continue that ongoing transformation and growth out of shame on an ongoing basis. So I said a little phrase on Tuesday which people went, ah, that's helpful. So I'll say it again this morning, that evangelism will look more like discipleship. Evangelism will look more like discipleship. Because it will be a process, because it's about building trust, because it's about sharing conversations, because it's about building this bridge out of secrecy, silence and judgment. What that means, I think, a one another culture where these one another statements are alive and well and practiced needs a different type of leadership, because the leader cannot be the person that everybody goes to and the fount of all knowledge and the arbiter of truth. It has to be out there. Because if you're teaching and admonishing one another, then that puts it in this out there space, doesn't it? Amongst the community of believers. And we see that practiced amongst ourselves. I think we've gone a long way down that path, not just on Sundays with the various different people that we have in this space speaking, but in our more conversational style, but also obviously in our small groups, vital. You'd expect me to say that, so I do. That they are the places where leadership that enables happens. Leadership that facilitates people sharing where they are, what's going on, and brings a reality to our spirituality. So that's just a helpful little way that I'm thinking about this and developing material around, okay, what does leadership look like? What does a one another culture look like? And what are the sort of words that we might choose to use around building this bridge into our culture, whether that's in a one-to-one situation, whether that's in a group conversation. Even yesterday, as Lynn and I were doing these dream interpretation things together, I'm thinking, okay, what does it mean in this situation? How do I outwork this? What does it look like? Several of the church leaders that have come on the workshops are thinking about their liturgy in their churches. How do they do communion? What sort of language do you use around that that puts it more in this space? Not exclusively, because again, all three of these are valid. But if we're really going to make this part of who we are and therefore help to build this bridge, our language needs to change. One of the vicars locally was really excited. He said, when I do baptism preparation, children's baptism preparation, I sit with the couple and I talk about the various things that they need to know, what's going to happen on the day, how the thing's going to work and all that sort of thing. And part of their process of doing that is that they need to explain the gospel. And he says, I get to the point where I talk about Jesus' death and resurrection and you can see them just step away. The atmosphere changes and it doesn't work because I'm trying to tell them that they've done something wrong and they need a saviour. And they don't believe they have. I feel really uncomfortable doing it, and it's awful. He said, what you've done here has enabled me to think about that differently. His wife reported back to me, because she was in the group, he's now on sabbatical. On Tuesday, she said, Richard developed what you were talking about and used it. He said it was great. Just so different to be in that space, to be able to connect more readily. Still communicate the gospel and the truth of it, but in a way that worked. Another friend of mine, who's thinking about this as well, she said, this plank feels like taking a bucket of cold water and tipping it over somebody and then offering them a towel. I thought, oh, I like that. And I felt like that. I thought, how am I going to get you to use Lawrence's friend's language? How am I going to get you lost so I can tell you that you need to be found? And that's been a bit of our puzzle, I think, here, particularly more recently. And I thought that picture of throwing a bucket of cold water over somebody, getting them wet, getting them cold, and then offering them a towel as the solution was a good one. We don't need to do that here. Because we are lost. We've lost a sense of our value, our purpose, who we are, and we need that reconnected. We need to work in that space. This is quite transactional. Quite sort of straightforward, quite clinical, quite easy to understand and talk about. This is a bit more complex. It's messy, it's relational. And so it won't feel the same as being over here, and that will cause us problems and does cause me problems when I've done these workshops. You know, you can imagine some people come back at me fairly vehemently and I reach for my flameproof suit in case they've got matches and petrol, because I do feel like a bit of a heretic in some circles, as you do when you try and push into a slightly different or new area. So that's, as I say, what I'd like to unpack next week. I'm conscious of the time. So these are just the highlights of hopefully what's come across. A pathway out of shame, building a bridge for the gospel message into the UK culture of shame, and based around showing empathy, breaking secrecy, silence, and judgment. I'm going to stop there. I'd like you to come back at me just in case there's things that I need to hear or I haven't explained as well. Do take a set of notes. They'll have an outline for some of the things we're going to look at next week. I don't expect you to come, you know, prepared or having looked at them. But if you want to, and if you're the sort of person that likes to get your head in the space of what we're going to do next week, then take those and have a look at them, and then we'll explore it together. I'll present something, and then we'll have a bit more of a conversation together, which will be good.